Hello, everyone, and thank you very much for joining us for the Monday Analyst Discussion on this Monday, April 13th. I'm Ian Saunders.
And I'm Eric McArdle.
And coming in here to the second full week here in April and kicking things off on a slightly negative tone for most of at least the broader equity space. Coming off last week when most of the broader domestic equity index has posted significant gains, as can be seen on the 20-point chart here of the S&P 500 that we have up. Saw a reversal back up from levels of 2460, gave a buy signal at 2540, and it continued higher through movement on Thursday with the abbreviated week last week, all the way up to 2800. Coming today, things are a little bit different, getting a little bit of a pullback here on this chart. Down from that level, currently around 2740 at the time of this recording, getting a reversal down into a column of O's on this 20-point chart of the S&P 500. But it's still kind of a significant move to have that kind of broader strength, or at least return to many aspects of the market there last week. Still seeing this as more of an intermediate term advancement, but definitely a continuation of a positive sign with that movement that we saw there last week. Interestingly enough as well, if we take this 20-point chart over to the longer-term 50-point chart that we have continued to monitor here, Dorsey, right, we notice that this kind of pullback with the movement that we've seen today is not translated over to this chart, but it does see that we're testing right up against that longer-term bearish resistance line with the blue dotted line that you see here, right up at 2,800 on the chart through Thursday. But testing that support level at 2850 and not able to break through that there, at least with trading here on Monday. So we would expect some continued resistance here at this point, but definitely a point to watch out for on that longer term basis to see if it is able to break through that upside potential there. And taking it back to the 20-point chart, in terms of some further resistance and support levels that we're continuing to monitor, we would expect continued resistance around that 2900 level, even if it does break above on that longer term 50-point chart. Here on the 20-point chart, you can see that most of this trading range that we had for much of last year was right around that 2900. So from that 2850 up to about the 3000 level there, some significant resistance potential at least. And then in looking at the downside of potential support levels, the initial support on this 20-point chart would come down at 2460, as you can see here. We would also expect the potential for some support maybe around the 2650 level, where we saw that upside break there right at the end of March, right before we kicked off April here. So just a few other points that we're looking, keeping an eye around that 2900 level for the S&P if it is able to break back through a longer term 50-point chart trend line. And then as terms of support, the 2650 and then further down at 2460 from here as well. But in looking past the broader index in and of itself, we've seen some movement from the individual sector perspective here. One way that we can examine movement within the individual sectors is through our DALI tool, our Dynamic Asset Level Investing tool, which ranks the broad asset classes that we have. There's six broad asset classes. Domestic equities currently still ranked fourth, although we have seen a slight pickup in relative strength by the buy signal count rising to 176. But even though the domestic equities asset class is still ranked fourth, we're still going to rank each of the respective areas within domestic equities, your size and style classifications, your sector classifications. And the sectors have shown a little bit of change here over the past week or so there. Is that right, Eric?
Yeah, that is right. And, you know, we've seen energy, which has been the sector laggard for about a year and a half now, claw back from the bottom and show some resilience here in the past really week or so, you know, in mainly the month of April. Energy as a group has gained 33 buy signals since the end of March, moving it from that dead last spot to now second to last. So still weak overall, but a significant uptick in the buy signal count. And a lot of that is attributed, at least from a narrative standpoint, to the recent, you know, supply and demand battle that's happening in the oil market. And if any of you were plugged in over this Easter weekend and had any of your financial news headlines, you know, set to alert you on your phone, you undoubtedly received one or many alerts regarding the recent price cut the recent production cut that was agreed upon by oil-producing nations around the world, namely Russia, Saudi Arabia, and the United States is kind of your three key players there. And what's interesting about that news is, you know, we've seen the chart of crude oil continuous, as we have up on the screen here, return to a buy signal with a double top break at 26 on April 2nd. So, you know, really a good week ahead of this announcement. So, you know, the news that we've seen today with that cut really kind of muted in the oil market. We're actually slightly red on the day. And, you know, that had been preceded by a few sessions of a pullback here from the crude oil commodity itself. So, you know, looking at this picture, it is clear that the longer term trend is markedly negative, right? Crude oil, as of Thursday's session close, you know, down 62% on the year, you know, ultimately hitting that bottom at $20, which was the lowest we've seen since 2002 before reversing back up and showing signs of life here. So, you know, not out of the woods yet, but crude oil, you know, staying on a buy signal here does present an opportunity for those of you who are looking to perhaps bottom fish in the sector. And, you know, if you're listening to this or watching this, you know, be sure to check out our daily equity report that we put out this afternoon or Monday evening. We're going to cover this topic a little bit further. But again, you know, keep in mind, still a weak area of the market, still a very weak underlying commodity. So if you are going to make, you know, a stab at these levels or any of the positions that play crude, be sure to set, you know, tight stop losses and really, you know, pay attention to your positions here.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Eric said there, I mean, still the broader space in and of itself, I mean, moving out of from dead last in the sector rankings to second last isn't anything to consider a favorable sector by any means. But like you said, more near term and potential those trading opportunities there. But definitely some significant move that we've seen from crude oil there. And we've seen some significant near term moves from other areas across the broader market as well. One way to track that is through the NYSE High Low Index. It's an index that we've been referencing pretty frequently recently. That looks at the number of stocks in the New York Stock Exchange. They're looking at about 2,000 names. So the number of stocks that are making a new 52-week high divided by the number of stocks making a 52-week high or low. So basically, what stocks are making a new upside extreme relative to any extreme at all. We then take that that daily calculation and smooth it out for a 10-day moving average. And historically, we've seen this index, the times when it gets below 10%, that we begin to look for that reversal back up. And we did finally see this chart reverse back up in X's. It's continued higher all the way up to 22% following trading there last Thursday. So definitely a further positive sign that, hey, there's some form of bottom forming in the market, right? Whether or not it is the final bottom or just the near-term bottom is not necessarily something that we're going to be able to predict right now, but this is definitely a positive sign that we're seeing this indicator show that, okay, there's bottoming aspect occurring in the market, and historically, those reversals from back up from below 10% have been pretty decent buying opportunities in terms of the longer-term picture. However, we do want to reiterate, going back to prior examples, that it's not always that first reversal back up into a column of X's from beneath 10% that carries you all the way back up to more normalized trading levels. As you can see just from here in the 2018, early 2019 example, so fourth quarter of 2018, early 2019, it took a couple reversals for this chart to ultimately reverse up and continue all the way higher to remain at elevated levels. So one thing to keep in mind while you're looking at some of these indicators that are reversing up, with the defensive tone that we still see from the longer term picture of the Dolly tool, as we discussed there initially, just be aware, as Eric said, to kind of keep a close eye on some of those stop loss positions, maintaining your reasoning for getting into the securities, and also having a potential reason to move out if things did turn south there quicker. So while we've seen these more near-term indicators reverse here as well, the longer-term picture is showing some signs of strength or some signs of life furthermore as well in terms of the positive trends of charts. So we saw the PT for the SPX reverse up at the beginning of April. So this is looking at the percentage of stocks in the S&P 500 that are trading in an overall positive trend. This reversed up in April, has now continued higher to 32%. So as you can see, we've reached levels there in March of this year that had not been seen since the financial crisis in 2008, 2009. So reversals up here, definitely a continuation of a positive sign, but still keeping in mind, does have the potential for these reversals. For these reversals up to be undone, indicators can reverse back down, but nonetheless, definitely a positive move and something that should be continued to monitor here in the days or weeks to come. You can set alerts on each of these charts for column reversals to be notified of any changes here as we head through the rest of this the rest of the month of April. So definitely seeing some further indications of strength across some of the indicators. And there are some other indications, not just in the large cap space, that we were seeing as well. Is that right, Eric?
Yeah, Ian, and you know, it's one thing to see the BP charts flip up, you know, and we've had some back and forth and coast to coast action on many of those, namely BP NYSE, you know, but as well as BP SPX and NDX, we've seen those fluctuate a bit. However, we've started to see some of that bullish confirmation in the mid and the small caps. And you'll notice on the table we have in front of us here, you know, the BPs for all of our major indices in the domestic equity space are in X's near the top or upper level of midfield. And further, we've now seen that bullish participation translate into additional confirmation via the PT chart. So, you know, we talked about the PTSPX, being, you know, obviously a confirmation of stocks moving to positive trends within that large cap index, but we're seeing that confirmation in the mid and the small cap universe as well. And you know, one thing to keep in mind is mids and smalls have underperformed their large counterparts, you know, not only going into this market sell-off but also through it. So you know, it's good to see the breadth of participation within those smaller names, and I think that gives us a little bit more conviction to the offensive posture for domestic equities as a whole, at least on this near-term perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact that we're seeing such kind of the broad strength on the near-term wise is definitely a positive sign to look towards. In looking at things from taking a little bit of a step back at that broader picture, again, going back to the Dolly tool, in terms of things to look for outside of maybe the potential reversals down, in terms of further kind of positive follow-through to look towards, looking towards those positive trend charts, those moving average charts are definitely going to be something to monitor in the weeks to come. Another area that we've seen here, going back to the Dolly tool, you can go over to the Dolly details page. And even though we ranked the six broad asset classes by their relative strength buy signals here in the Dolly ranking in and of themselves. We also have some specific comparisons for each asset class against cash. And there's been a couple interesting things to note that we've seen here change on this page over the past week. Even though the asset rank has not been adjusted, the cash percent rank is the first area that we might want to look towards for domestic equities. We know that the bogey check flipped to a pass a little bit earlier on, but then the cash percent rank, which instead of looking at one single relative strength relationship, domestic equities against cash, the cash percent rank looks at multiple representatives for domestic equities, and then throws cash into a relative strength ranking of those names. So basically, what percentage of your domestic equities market or your domestic equities asset class is cash beating? And that reading works in thirds. So they're looking at the top third as the asset class being weak against cash, middle third asset class would be average, and then the bottom third, if cash was in the bottom third, you would have a strong asset class against cash. So this reading got as high as 95, a little higher than 95%, amid the decline that we've seen here over the past few weeks, and then fell off significantly there towards the end of last week to move just in that top half at 67%. So in terms of looking for further follow through, this would be one point to kind of keep an eye out for to see if this indicator crosses back into the average the yellow light territory here below 66%. And then we saw some changes from fixed income perspective as well. And looking at the bogey check for fixed income against cash, this flipped to a pass for the first time here quite a while at following trading on Thursday, indicating some near-term strength for fixed income, which still does rank second out of all of the broader six asset classes there.
Yep, that's right, Ian. And fixed income has really been a bellwether during this down equity market environment. And that's kind of interesting in and of itself, because if we contrast today's environment with 2008, which most people kind of draw on those historical inferences to see where the lay of the land is in certain market environments, bonds in 08 were really weak in our asset class rankings throughout the whole financial crisis. So interesting to see the strength there. And even with domestic equities rallying here in recent weeks, we haven't seen fixed income budge too much from that number two spot, really only down a few buy signals off of its tally rank high. And so when we're looking at the fixed income space as a whole, one of the best ways to gauge that market in general is just by looking at an aggregate bond index ETF. And our favorite for this example is going to be the iShares AGG, or aggregate bond ETF. And when we look at the chart of AGG, not only do we have a strong fund score just shy of five, and just as a refresher, perfect fund score would be six, so four or better is considered optimal here. But on the chart for the default, recently returned or marked a second consecutive buy signal with a double top break at 1640. And pulled back a little bit in today's session, but really showing a lot of strength here on the chart. And from that overall technical picture, with the fund score that we try to kind of wrap up in a simple format, bonds are definitely worth a look right now. With AGG still at an actionable level here, we can see we're kind of in the upper middle part of the trading band, so we're not necessarily overbought, even though we are slightly on that side of the distribution curve. And when we kind of dissect that and we say, look under the hood and at the interest rate environment, two of the most often referenced yields are going to be your 10-year treasury yield, which on our system is under ticker TNX, and the 30-year yield, which is going to be under ticker TYX, both of which have returned to buy signals here in recent sessions. However, the trend is still markedly lower. So interest rates continuing that longer-term negative trend, and that is going to be a pretty much an inverse relationship to how bonds should perform from a price perspective. Just a final note to add on this, Ian, when we're looking further into the specific asset classes that make up the fixed income space, we still favor long duration. And most notably, we're looking at government and treasury bonds, which are scoring very well in this environment. So definitely a risk-off feel in fixed income. I know a lot of the headlines recently with Fed action buying into the corporate bond space, have definitely garnered attention. But for now, those areas are still underperforming or lagging relative to the longer duration treasury plays.
And in terms of other kind of defensively minded areas, I mean, we just kind of started off this update looking at some improvement that we've seen from domestic equities, but from the longer term picture still hasn't fully translated over to a positive posture yet. So another area to kind of look towards a more defensive stance would be gold, using the Spider Gold Trust ticker GLD here. We saw that kind of have further demand come back into the picture here to, with trading all day. It was on two consecutive buy signals, moved past resistance point at 158 over there to multi-year highs that hadn't been seen since the end of 2012, up at now at 162, at least following it with intraday at the time of this recording. So definitely an interesting field of note. So given some recent strength that we've seen in equities, that we're seeing some of these more defensively minded asset classes can continue to demonstrate some strength as well. So definitely another area to keep an eye out for over the days or weeks to come. But with that here, I think that just about covers most of what we're looking to touch on here today. Is that right, Eric?
It is. And just, for you all watching or listening, we will put the webinar that we did today. But we'll have the replay in the Daily Equity Report. So keep an eye out for that if you missed it. Of course, we will have our Wednesday podcast, and we'll continue to publish timely and relevant research via the Daily Equity Report on the Nasdaq Diversity Right platform, as we continue to navigate the markets during this really unprecedented time. And with that said, we're here for you. So, you know, we know there's a lot going on. We know you have a lot to manage with your clients. If you have any questions or anything we can do to help you during this time or any time, feel free to reach out to us at 804-320-8511. We're all social distancing and working from home, but able to get back here relatively quickly. So, you know, again, don't hesitate to use us as a resource. We're here to help you get through this. So
with that, again, as Eric said, thank you all very much for joining us here this week. We look forward to speaking with you again next week.